Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. So welcome again and namaste to this radio show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. And in today's show, I will cover a topic I have covered briefly in a previous show, But it's a topic of great interest to me because it looks at the historical aspect of Ayurveda in relation to world history and specifically to in relation to the trade in spices and herbs that have occurred over time. So you think of this episode today as a story of Ayurveda and of what predominantly would be regarded as Indian or South Asian spices and herbs. And we will explore the intersection of the traditional wisdom of Ayurveda and where it crosses the path of world history. And in this episode, I will discuss what I think is one of the most fascinating chapters in the human civilization, and one that's always intriguing personally, which is really the story of spices, and specifically the story of Ayurveda and Indian spices, and how they shaped not only the health of cultures worldwide, but also how they shaped the development of medicine, not just in India and Asia and the South Indian subcontinent, I mean to be Persian and Arab worlds, but further into North Africa and into Europe and beyond. And also how the story of the Ayurveda and of Indian spices improves the course of world trade and ultimately history of the world. So, a big story to tell and an interesting one, or I hope you'll think so. Now, as I've said before on previous shows, Indian spices are not just flavouring agents, or like Indian and say South Asian spices, or spices and herbs in general, are not just flavouring agents. They have been used as medicinal treatments, both on herbal medications and home remedies for thousands of years. And they have played a vital role in the development of Ayurveda, which is the ancient Indian system of medicine and science and of living well. And the spices and the quest for these spices became powerful drivers and had a global exploration and empire over the centuries. This is a fascinating story, I feel, that combines botany, medicine, culture, and even economics and world history into a long and a colourful, fascinating event journey. But to start with, I'll need to discuss the foundation of Ayurveda for those of you who have heard of Ayurveda, may not have tuned into my show before, I could just briefly recap about Ayurveda itself. So this will help us understand the importance of the spices in India's world trade, currently and going back thousands of years. We must start to understand the meaning of Ayurveda itself. Now, Ayurveda, the word, as I've said before, is a compound word. It means the science of life, translated from Sanskrit. Ayu being life and Veda being knowledge. And it originated more than 5,000 years ago in the Indian subcontinent. Now, the Ayurvedic knowledge had been passed down orally initially in what's called slokas, or sayings, or long prayers, incantations, and then they were gradually recorded in texts. And these are classical Sanskrit texts of the Ayurvedic Vedic tradition. And there are a number of well-known ones, which I will quote from Charaka Samhita, Sustra Sutta Samhita, and Ashtanga Kridra. And these are some of the well-known updates, you might say, of these this Ayurvedic knowledge wisdom that accumulated over thousands of years. Now, unlike modern pharmacology, Ayurveda views foods and herbs and spices as living substances that have a direct influence on the body's internal energies. Those are Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And these are collectively called the doshas. And it's the balance of these doshas that determines one's health. And any imbalance in these doshas can lead to disease. We are all made up of a combination of different energies of the Vata, Pitta, and Kapha dosha. And this is a principle of Ayurveda. So that if we are within our normal combination of these elements, or our natural combination of these elements, we remain fit, healthy, and well. However, if we go out of balance in any or any number, one or two or even three sometimes of these doshas, then we can develop dis-ease or disorders. And in Ayurvedic practice, the kitchen is regarded as an extension of the pharmacy in modern medicine. Now, in the olden days, a GP surgery would have a dispensing or a pharmacy part of the surgery where the medicines were kept and dispensed. And in a similar way, the kitchen is an extension of that in a modern Ayurvedic practice. And the spices are classified not just by their taste alone, but by some other fundamental concepts in Ayurveda. Rasa is their taste and flavor. Guna is the quality of the herbs and the effects this quality can impart upon the body and the mind. Virya is regarded as its potency, which effectively is its heating or cooling effect of a spice or herb. And vipaka is what's called the post-digestive effect. So the effect we might notice a number of hours after ingesting a herb or a spice as part of a meal, or even as a remedy. Now, when I spoke in last week's show, I spoke about the energetics of autumnal vegetables. And this is how food and spices and herbs are seen to affect us after we ingest them, through their rasa flavor, their qualities, their gunas, their potency, or the virya, heating, cooling effect, and their post-digestive effect. So it's a layered way of looking, a nuanced way of looking at the effects of foods, individual foods, and specifically spices and herbs. For example, we can apply these different principles or different effects of spices and herbs if we think about some common herbs and spices that we know and are becoming more popular in use today. If we think about turmeric, the name for turmeric in Sanskrit is called haridra, and this would indicate an effect upon the circulation, the heart. Now, this is
regarded as having a bitter and pungent taste, and it's heating in its potency, or it's an energetic, and it's regarded as having a purifying effect upon the blood. You think about a blood, if it's heated and it's getting these different tastes, bitter and pungent, this pacifies pitta, and pitta is the dosha that's associated with the tissue of blood. Ginger is another commonly used spice or herb in Ayurveda, and this is called santi in Sanskrit, and it's regarded as having a warming and a penetrating effect, and it's known as Vishvabhijasbhisaja, apologies for the pronunciation, or what's called the universal medicine. So it's commonly used in remedies and within the cooking in the Ayurvedic practice. Another well-known, and I'll discuss it again later in the show, another very common spice that we all know is called black pepper, or marika in Sanskrit. And this has always been regarded as a digestive stimulant, so it enhances digestion. It also works as an enhancer of improving the bioavailability, or the concentration of the tissues of certain types of other herbs. And it's used to kindle agni, which is to kind of any sluggish agni or slow agni, you know, digestion and digestive fire. Adding pepper can help increase this fire, so it improves that digestive fire, or increases it. Cardamom, known as ella, is another common herb that was much sought after over the ages, and this is regarded as an aromatic herb and or spice, and it's cooling, and it helps in easing symptoms of acidity or reflux or heartburn, and in clearing the mind, so that cooling and cleansing effect can also be noticed in the mind. Now, when I speak about spices and herbs in terms of cardamom, the spices would be regarded as the seed, and the herb would be regarded as the leaf. And that's just a general description of both spices and herbs. But we use them and we intermingle the descriptions all the time. So, as was stated in the Chanaka Samhita, one of these great Ayurvedic texts, ahara kardanam asagam. And this translates as food itself is the foremost medicine. So really, really brings home the importance of food as the first medicine. So every meal in the ancient Indian cultural tradition would be regarded as an act of healing. So it not just calories we're taking in, but where the food can heal and promote health. And the spices and herbs particularly. And these are used to balance these internal energies of Vata, Pitta, Dosha to help with digestion, to aid or enhance digestion, and ultimately to prevent illness. I'll take a short break and I'll discuss the early history of the Indian spices and their importance in world history, not just in medicine, but in trade, in the next part of the show. So see you in a few.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show, Are You Baiting? The Science of Light. And in this episode, I am discussing the history of Ayurveda in relation to the history of the spice trade and world history and the importance of spices going back, way back into history. And it's a topic that's often fascinating. Yeah, I've been always interested in history, and particularly the history of colonial empires and the quest for spices and how spices were deemed to be so important in the Western world, and over thousands of years, they were as important as gold in many ways, spices. And I've often wondered why that was the case. And learning about Ayurveda has helped me understand a little bit more that it's not just to do with the food; it's to do with the medicine effect of spices and herbs. Now, we can see from archaeological and literary evidence that in India, and they've been cultivating and trading spices for over about 4,000 years, similar to the amount of time that Ayurveda has been in existence. And even within shards of pottery that have been found in the areas of the Indus Valley, where there's great civilizations about 2,000 years before Christ, they have discovered residues of tourmaline, garlic and ginger. And the Vedas, and I've spoken at the Vedas before, the Vedas are regarded as the foundational text of the Hindu and even later the Buddhist tradition, but the Hindu tradition particularly, and they were collected wisdom written down over time in all aspects of human life. But particularly in the Veda known as the Atharva Veda, and this is the Veda of which Ayurveda originates with, along with yoga. There is numerous mention of aromatic herbs and resins which were used in rituals and medicine, not just in cooking. Now, fragrant substances such as sandalwood and cinnamon and clove, they were valued not just for their therapeutic purposes, but also they were involved in religious rituals associated with purification, spiritual purification, and so on. However, as agricultural knowledge increased and the techniques improved, and different regions became associated with different spices in magic super specialization of an early age, Kerala and the area of the Western Ghats, which is the mountains that go along the western side of the Indian subcontinent, was renowned for the cultivation of pepper and cardamom, and this would have become part of their food tradition as well, because in India there are numerous different, at least five, six different food traditions in the different regions of India alone. The Tamil region further south and east, these are the regions that are move on towards Sri Lanka and share similar culture and cooking cuisine. These regions would have been known for turmeric and tamarind. They would have traded in these to foreign parts. Gujarat and Rajasthan in the north and the west were known for cumin and coriander. And in Bengal, the spices that were commonly used and cultivated were mustard seeds and long pepper. So you can see that different cooking styles would have emerged from these different areas according to the distribution of the types of spices that were grown in these areas, cultivated in these areas. Now, by the third century before Christ, this is during the period of the Mauryan Empire, India had an organized internal spice trade which connected the port cities on the coast with the inland cities. So this was a part of their tradition and culture at the time. And we can see that it was developed into a system where there was taxation and regulation of spices, as much as we have to do today, quality control and applying even tariffs these days, which are so topical among the US. So this suggests they had not just an intrinsic value of themselves, but they had a monetary value as a commodity sold and traded. Now, 1,000 years before Christ, these Indian spices started to reach overland, to overland and maritime routes to more distant parts, both on the eastern side of the Indian subcontinent and the western side towards Egypt and the Arab world. So the Silk Road not only carried silk, it's like a misnomer in lots of ways, but it carried Indian pepper and ginger and cinnamon to Western Asia and to the Middle East. So these routes developed over time so that in a wonderful book that I led a few months ago, written by William Dam Dalrymple, who's a famed Orientalist and scholar, Indian scholar, who lives in Delhi, he wrote a book called The Golden Road, which almost slightly debunks the concept of the Silk Road coming from China all the way across overland, and explaining that the Golden Road from India and the trade of the importance of this maritime trade, clearly it was easier to travel by sea. This trade of spices and herbs would have had a significant impact on the empires and the cultures in that period of time, 1,000 years before Christ and for 1,000 years afterwards, both east and west. And this is how the Hindu traditions spread, and the Buddhist tradition later spread in that part of the world and to Southeast Asia particularly. The Arab traders would have mastered the use of the monsoon, as much as later on the European explorers mastered the trades of, they'd mastered the trade winds and the Atlantic. And they were able to travel from the west coast or the Malabar coast of India to the Red Sea and into Egypt. And in these Egyptian tombs, similarly, archaeologists have found peppercorns from India were placed in the nostrils of Pharaoh Ramses II. And this is evidence of the importance and significance of these imports and these spices there, even in Deir. Spices were used, we know, in religious and cultural rites and rituals, and they were of vital importance, not just in life, but also in death and the afterlife. And the Romans imported vast amounts of Indian spices. And it was written, Pliny the Elder, this famous Roman naturalist, that he lamented that Rome spent enormous sums on pepper and aromatics from India. And he is quoted saying that India drains our empire of gold in exchange for our perfumes and spices. However, the revenue that the Roman Empire gained from these taxes that they levied on the spices, these were essential revenue for the day-to-day running of the government, the legions, the army, the civil service. And Rome would not have survived without this trade. So the high demand for spices then made India one of the wealthiest regions in the world. And some of the ports became very busy trade centers where Indian and Arab, Greek and Roman merchants would have met, exchanged ideas and so on. Not just in Italy and their spices, but also in their medicine as well. This is how medicine would have spread from the Ayurvedic medicine and the common principles and teachings of Ayurvedic medicine would have spread into the Arab, Greek, and Roman worlds. And there are so many similarities between the teachings of the Ayurvedic in the Vedas and the later teachings of Galen and the famous Greek physicians. It's hard to believe it's a coincidence that they came up with them separately. So by the early stages of this period around Christ, or the common era after Christ, spices were known as India's famous export, or the most famous exports from the East. And they became a symbol of wealth. They were associated with healing, and they had an allure over and above their actual monetary worth. I hope that begins to put the story of spices and herbs into a frame of the world history and the importance that they had over time, sustained all the way through, even to the days today, even to now, where we're realizing the importance of these herbal medications that are in the Ayurvedic tradition, and the turmeric, ginger, and pepper. So I will come back in the next part of the show and discuss something with more, elaborate further on the different types of herbs and how they shaped world history. So I'll see you in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back again to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. My name is Dr. Odukhon. I'm an Ayurvedic practitioner, now practicing in Belfast after spending 30 years working in general practice in the UK and Ireland. And my passion now is Ayurveda. I'm fascinated by the story of Ayurveda, particularly the role that Ayurveda has with the spices and herbs and the history of world trade over time, and the importance that they've always had in cultures all over the world, the importance of spices and herbs in cooking. Now, to follow on from the last part of the show where I discussed the development of these maritime trade routes from India, this Indian subcontinent, to the, from our point of view, to the West Egypt and Rome, the Mediterranean, this became a this increased our appetite in Europe for spices, so that we became more familiar with them, and our the type of bland European diets were helped by the spices. Not only they preserved food, but spices became associated with a symbol of wealth and of status and station in society. But these established trade routes from the Indian maritime coast to the Arabs and then in east were monopolized by the Arabs and the Venetians. And these were, they had a monopoly, so to speak, on these trade routes. And spices became extremely expensive because their supply was controlled by the Arabs and the Venetians. And they protected this from competitors, particularly the Venetians established ports along the coast of the Adriatic and the Mediterranean and down into Greece, so that this made spices more difficult to obtain, more expensive. So this is what led to what's called the Age of Exploration that we associate with Columbus and Vasco da Gama, the desire to reach the Far East, to be able to circumvent this this trading route that went through the Arab, from India to the Arab lands and then beyond into the Mediterranean and into Europe, to bypass the Silk Road, so to speak. And then in 1498, Vasco da Gama successfully reached Calicut, which is on the Indian west coast, and this changed world history, because the Portuguese then were able to establish forts and trading posts along the western coast to try and monopolize portrayed, particularly in Peppermint Cinnamon along those coasts. You know, I remember I mentioned these are the herbs that are most commonly cultivated in this part of India. But soon, of course, then the Dutch East India Company and the English East India Company, they entered the race as well. And the struggle for the spice control became one of the driving forces behind this European colonization of Asia. They just wanted to trade in spices. There was money and wealth to be made from trading in spices. So then this spices became associated with a source of war, conflict, and empire building, inevitably, between these nations. And the wealth that generated from these, this trade, much like it allowed the Roman Empire to expand into Britain, into the far eastern part of Europe and into North Africa, it also allowed the global expansion of the European powers. The tradition of the use of spices in Ayurveda continued. Where Europeans would have seen profit in spices, Indians still regarded, saw prana or life energy, or the importance of spices for health. That turmeric paste could be used to heal wounds, that cumin tea could be used for indigestion, human infirmity, clove oil or licorice oil for toothache and to promote healthy gums and mucosa in the mouth. So, and also remembering in the use of herbs and spices in daily self-care rituals as well. Now, Ayurveda integrates the use of spices into your diet and lifestyle. Spoken about this on previous shows. And each spice supports the digestive and metabolic process known as Agni, or digestive fire, which is the most one of the most important processes that happen in our body to keep us healthy. And this liken this to the sum of all these processes that happen in our body from the moment we ingest food into how it's broken down, how it's absorbed into our tissues, and how it's used for repair and rebuilding of those tissues. So we are what we eat effectively after it's broken down. But if our digestive fire or our Agni is slow and weak or erratic too fast, then toxins will accumulate, which will cause disease. It's like we liken it to undigested from the body. No, it's not quite as simple as that. But the fact that we're accumulating waste in our system rather than excreting it. And this will ultimately cause disease in the tissues and then the organs. But spices help us rekindle this digestive fire. Or as we say, spices enhance the process of digestion. A traditional Ayurvedic saying reminds us that every disease has a root in impaired digestion. Aroga sarvipi manda agno. So every disease has a root cause in our digestion. So we always search there first. But problem is there could be cause of disease or disorder. So Indian cooking would have evolved much as a preventative medicine or preventative way preventative health as much as a type of cuisine. A system of preventative health as much as a type of cuisine. If we consider the traditional herbal remedy of a trikatu, which is made from black pepper, long pepper, and dry ginger, this has been known for thousands of years to improve digestion. It clears excess mucus from our system, particularly our chest, and it enhances nutrient absorption. So it enhances the process of breaking down the food into our tissues. Another well-known Ayurvedic herbal preparation is called Invastika Churna. And this uses the spice asafoetida, also cumin and carom seeds, in a blend to treat the symptoms of bloating waxwounds. So we can think they're good for the vata imbalance, if there's a vata imbalance in that dosha. So Ayurvedic food, Ayurvedic knowledges on food and digestion were not just random observations that people noted, but they were carefully designed and recorded pharmacological observations into a system of teaching that was developed over centuries. And we now can this allows us now to incorporate this vast body of knowledge into our daily meals and habits in a way that's accessible and safe and trusted. Time-honored, so to speak. So I'll finish with some description of the common spices that I mentioned briefly earlier on and their importance within the story of the spice trade and war history. Number one, very popular today, is turmeric. Turmeric has got a heart connection. The translation is haridra, and that part of that word means heart. And it's described as the golden healer. So the color is very vivid and very, nobody mistakes turmeric on a spice display. So over thousands of years, it's been noted in Ayurveda that it has an effect of enhancing complexion, which fits with its pitta balancing, because pitta is associated with the skin, and imparts radiance or a glow to the skin when used. It balances kapha and pitta. It purifies the blood, and it has a role in healing wounds. And modern science has validated, or has proven, that the major compound in turmeric called curcumin has an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant action or effects or properties. And during the ancient trade, turmeric traveled from South India to Southeast Asia to China, the Middle East and Africa, and it was incorporated into their cuisines, but it's most typically associated with Indian cuisine, Indian cooking. But nowadays, turmeric is a symptom number. It's like a global wellness symptom. It's traveled, you see it in turmeric lattes and so on. So you can see there's a remnant of this Ayurvedic medical tradition even in our choice of copies. And this Ayurvedic wisdom and healing goes behind this turmeric and its beneficial effects. The other herb I mentioned earlier on is black pepper, or the king of spices. And this is a pepper that's grown native in the Kerala forests. And it really became India's first global brand. The Romans called it black gold. And in medieval Europe, it was used as a used as a measure of wealth. And in Ayurveda, it's been recognized that it has what's called a dipana effect, which means it stimulates your digestion. And also a pachana effect, which helps remove toxins or our accumulated waste in our bodies. So it works at both ends of a digestive process. And in addition, it can enhance the potency of other herbs. And this is particularly important when used in combination, for instance, in the chikatoo I mentioned earlier on, which is a common Ayurvedic herbal preparation and medication and supplement. Now, modern pharmacology has confirmed that piperine, the active compound in pepper, has this effect of increasing the bioavailability of nutrients within the body. So this, once again, is a scientific validation of proof of the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda and the knowledge that was accumulated over thousands of years. Cardamom is regarded as the queen of spices, and it grows in Southeast India and in Sri Lanka. And in Ayurveda, it's been recognized for a long time to soothe or balance pitta. It helps improve breathing and can support the heart. And it was carried westward by the Arabs, and it was added into flavored coffees and into perfumes because of its unique aroma of freshness. So anytime I smell cardamom in a kitchen or in a restaurant, it has this calming effect. And that's part of the energetics that are associated with cardamom, over having a cooling effect. And then cinnamon, which we're all familiar with, is spread worldwide, is regarded in Ayurveda as having a warming effect. So it's like a gently warming spice. And it has a digestive effect in improving the digestion by adding a little bit of heat, and can work as a carminative, which means it helps reduce this problem of excessive gas and bloating that people can sometimes describe in the digestion. And it balances, it has an effect by this heating effect of balancing the cold vata dosha and sacral balance. By, as I mentioned before, cinnamon came from southern India as well, in the region of Sri Lanka, And this is why it was so coveted by European powers. And it's still used in Ayurveda for colds or circulation problems and to enhance vitality. So it still has this this quality and effect is noted and used. But spices, of course, this global spice trade, it profoundly changed our economic systems. And it led to cross-cultural exchanges and even scientific inquiries now, particularly into these ancient, well, not the ancient spices, but these old herbs and spices that have been used in the Ayurvedic tradition for thousands of years. And they merged cuisines, rituals, and even medical systems, like I mentioned before. And the role and the history of these spices and herbs, it encouraged the study of botany and biochemistry, chemistry and pharmacology in the West and in Europe particularly, where we sought to classify and cultivate these exotic plants back at home in Europe. But of course, with every story, there was a darker side to it. The colonial powers often exploited the spice farmers and displaced indigenous practices and farm. But even despite all the upheaval, the political upheaval and the empires and the destruction of cultures, temples and so on, the Ayurvedic tradition and understanding of spices and herbs has survived. It's been transmitted orally in the texts and it's been practiced in households within the cuisine and cooking. And it's been even revived and re-examined with modern scientific research. And still today, India remains the largest producer and exporter of spices, accounting for over 40% of the total global trade. And the Spice Board of India now realizes the importance of the overseeing the quality and the certification and quality control of the products that are cultivated and harvested and sowed. And this is particularly important in relation to Ayurvedic products and Ayurvedic herbal medications. But turmeric and cumin, coriander and black pepper are some of the top exports from India to the Europe, Middle East and even to the US and North America. And these, at this time, the Ayurvedic and herbal wellness industry, I don't mind using that phrase, but it's a multi-billion dollar industry at the moment. And it's expanded worldwide, sometimes I feel on the coattails of these Ayurvedic wisdom and knowledge. But we must not forget that it's... These are not new concepts. They have been formulated over time within the Ayurvedic tradition. And these Ayurvedic principles, they influence global trends in nutrition, in detoxification regimes, in holistic therapy, in breathwork, meditation, in yoga, of course, back decades ago, and even back at the start of the 20th century, and in techniques of massage, and in mind awareness practices as well. And we must remember as well that there are challenges with all this increase in attention of Ayurveda and within the global wellness industry. Because Ayurvedic traditions always emphasize ecological and harmony and being in tune with nature and to harvest at specific times and to have sustainable practices in place and use seasonal local ingredients. But this is sometimes not the case in the West, where they tend to be more voracious about the way we cultivate, sell and trade commodities and goods and herbs, spices, basically. Now, at the heart of the story of Ayurveda and spices is a story of balance between nature and commerce, science and spirituality, all of these values, all of these areas. So Ayurveda teaches us that every taste influences our consciousness. The six tastes of sweet, sour, salty, bitter, pungent and stringent correspond in their makeup to the five elements of nature. And a diet that harmonizes these tastes or balance keeps them in balance, just as much as a balanced trade system, which at this moment of time is anything but, should harmonize our human and ecological welfare both the microcosm and the macrocosm that I've spoken about before. And this journey, I hope I've explained, on Indian spices through history, reminds us that the world economies were once sustained by natural gifts and cultivated with reverence and with devotion. And I feel we need to look back in order to look forward. And then as we rediscovered Ayurveda today, we are rediscovering that ethical principles that guide it, the respect for life and nature and all its forms. So thank you for joining me today on this episode about the history of spices in relation to Ayurveda. And I hope that you've learned a little bit about the importance of spices and herbs within the Ayurvedic tradition and the importance that they've had over thousands of years in world history. I'll finish up with my last message and hope you join me again next year. Stay balanced, stay inspired.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, annamayurveda.com, which is annam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Annam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Croí Fhuilán, Fad Saol. Healthy heart, long life. Take care.